not. Not getting a rise out of her, so I'll just move on. Go with me, if you would, to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. We were there last week. We'll go back there again this week. And if I can find it, it's right there. 2 Chronicles 7. And we're going to talk about why worship this morning. We talked about worship some last week and about some things that God did and will do. And did our best to encourage a group of people last Sunday, and I believe we did. We all go through things, don't we? We all suffer through some things at one time or another in our life. And well, God's still worthy to be worshipped no matter what we're going through. He deserves it. You may be at the lowest point in your life, and you may think you can never go any lower, but God's still God. And he still deserves your worship. He deserves praise. He's still God. And I read this statement. I'll read it again as we begin this morning. As you walk with God during difficult and sometimes confusing seasons, know that God will see you through. He will see you through your doubts until he resurrects your hope to see the fulfillment of your promise. Some of you is holding on to some promises. Well, God's going to see you through to the fulfillment of that promise if you'll hold on. Just hold on. God's good. Amen. The reasons we worship. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 7, 1 to 1 through 3. 1, 2, 3. Okay, here we go. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, his mercy endures forever." There's a good reason to worship. One is God commands it. These folks here had come through a lot of adversity in their existence. You know, they had been in captive and in bondage for 400 years, thereabouts. They'd gotten delivered. They'd been given their own land. They had went through many battles to get to this point. They had had king, and had two kings in their second king here, third king now, with Solomon, David's son. They'd went through a lot of adversity to get where they was at. They'd fought a lot of battles, a lot of enemies. And now they were here, and they'd finally got to a place they could get from the tabernacle in the wilderness, a temporary place of worship, to a permanent place of worship. A place that God would be at, hopefully, continually. And now they're dedicating this place to God. They'd killed all these animals. They'd made all these sacrifices. They'd done all these different things that God had told them to do. And now God was blessing and anointing the place. And when they saw God move, they bowed their faces to the ground and began to worship him. They got down on their hands and knees. They didn't sit a little bit contrary in their pews. They didn't. The Bible didn't say that somebody held out. Maybe there's probably somebody said, "Well, I'm not going to do that." There probably was somebody somewhere that said, "I'm not going to do that. I'm not getting down on my hands and knees and putting my face in the dirt." These folks recognized that this was a move of God and that God deserved their praise and their worship. And so they got down on their face, on their knees, on their face, and began to worship God. And they began to say, "God is good and his mercy endures forever." And begin to just repeat that. And they made the sacrifices. The Bible says here that Solomon offered 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. That is a lot of meat. That's a lot of animals slaughtered to give sacrifice to God. God doesn't ask us to that, but today He does want us. Look at 1 Chronicles 16:29. Skipping some scripture, Robbie, but it'd be okay. 1 Chronicles 16:29 says this: "Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Or worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Bring an offering and come to Him. They never came empty-handed to the temple. Did they? They never came empty-handed. When they came to the tabernacle in the wilderness, they came with something. They offered up some kind of sacrifice. They brought something to God. God still today desires that you and I bring something to Him. One reason we worship today, true worship involves at least these three elements. These three elements, and we're going to go into this. This is what I was going to preach last Sunday, but got sidetracked by the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to go do this today. I'll probably slow down a little bit and go through this with you. Hang with me, would you? I'll get you out of here after a while, and you can go cook your hot dogs. Go to the cemetery, whatever you're going to do. You can do that after a while. But before we worship and go put flowers on dead people's graves, let's worship the living God. He's a living God, and He deserves our praise. So it involves these three elements. Number one, worship requires reverence. First off, you have to honor and respect your honor and respect should be directed towards the Lord. When we come to church and we begin to worship, it's not about you and me. It's not about what am I going to get out of this. When you come to church and you bring an offering or your tithe, it shouldn't be I'm going to pay my tithe when I'm there so that I can receive something from God. We're not going to the picture show or to the Fire Lake grocery store and purchasing something. We're coming to God and offering Him the sacrifices of praise that is due His name. People treat church as I'll pay as I go thing, and I'll get something from God because I paid for it. It's not like that. You are worshiping God because He is God. And you give your tithe and your offering and things like that because He is God. And you never expect anything back from that. Your honor and your respect is directed towards the Lord. Your worship is directed towards the Lord. And then He honors that and He blesses that just like He did Solomon. They brought these sacrifices and they honored God with the first fruits of their lips even. And then God began to rain spiritual fire from heaven that was so intense that they couldn't stand to worship. They had to fall on their faces because the presence of the Lord was there. Come on, church. You can get with me or whatever you want to do today, but we got to understand that it's more than just I'm going to pay when I'm there. It's that I'm going to honor God. It's respect towards Him. It's one thing to obey a superior unwillingly, but quite another to commit one's thoughts and emotions to His obedience. It's like going to a job that you don't like and they tell you to do something and you say, well, you don't like it, but you do it because you are submitting to their authority because they, at that particular time, have authority over you and they can tell you what to do. You submit to it whether you like it or not. But when it comes to God, you're not to submit to Him whether you like it or not. You're to submit to Him and commit your entire being, your thoughts, your emotions to worshiping God. We're Christians, folks. We're supposed to worship God with all that's in you. Not halfway. Not just on Sunday. But every day, if all you're doing is showing up on a Sunday and giving God a tip and then giving God just a little bit of yourself, you are missing what it's all about. And I want to suggest to you that you might even, if you're not worshiping God in spirit and truth all week long, and you're not giving God the best you've got to give every day of your life, you might not get what God has to give you, His very best, by taking you to heaven one day. Let that sink in for a minute. That ought to scare you. That ought to worry you just a little bit. Am I giving God what I ought to give God? Am I worshiping God the way I ought to worship God? Or am I holding back? Am I doing it willingly, or am I doing it because I have to? Do I lift my hands in worship service because I just want to worship God? I don't feel a cotton-picking thing. I just want to worship God, so I'm going to raise my hands. And I'm going to say, you deserve the glory and the honor. I'm just going to do it because he deserves it. I'm not feeling it right now, but I'm going to do it because he deserves it. I'm going to guarantee if you begin to humble yourself and submit yourself to God and give him the glory and the honor that he's worthy of, you will begin to feel it. Because he'll honor it. His presence will fill your temple. Jesus said that we're to worship in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verse 24. And we know the chapter here is about the woman at the well and how that she came and Jesus had conversation with her and told her all that she was doing and revealed to her sinfulness and told her to go get her husband's and her husband and said, well, I know you've been married 5 times and how do you know all that? I perceive you're a prophet. We go the whole story but then it gets down to this place and she's talking about worship and where they should worship. And Jesus said, God, in verse 24, God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we worship in spirit and in truth. And so God is a spirit, and that's one of the classical statements of the nature of God in the Bible, that he is a spirit, and it means that God is invisible. We don't see God. I've never seen God. I don't know that any of you have ever seen God. You felt God's presence and you felt the Holy Spirit, which is the third person of the Trinity, God, coming down to earth right now, but you've never seen him. He's an invisible God. We believe in an invisible God, but we know he's a real God. The only true God. We believe that today. It means that God's invisible as opposed to the physical or material nature of man. I see you today. I know you're real. I can run out there if I wanted to and touch you and pull on your hair and you would probably say, ouch, stop that, don't do it. And you might even rear your, I walked up to a gentleman on Wednesday night and I just stood there by him for a little while and he didn't know I was there. And then I just kind of tapped him on the shoulder and he jerked back and fixing to knock me down. He said, oh, Pat, preacher, I didn't see you there. You startled me. Well, I thought for a minute he's going to startle me. No, not really, but, it's just that natural reaction. Now, Wendell Hardiston used to attend church here, and you could sneak up behind him and goose him, and he's just liable to hit you. So you always did that, and then you duck because you knew he's going to come around swinging. But, you're physical. I can see you. I can touch you. But you can't touch God physically, but you touch him with your worship, and he's a spirit. So what this means here is this. We may never be able to totally comprehend the invisible God, but unless we see him as he's revealed in Scripture, we can see him there, but we can't touch him now. Jesus was incarnated. He did come to earth, but we must worship him in spirit. And in truth. And that spirit doesn't mean in the Holy Spirit. It means with our spirit. We have to get him down deep inside of us and worship him with our spirit and then worship him in truth. And truth deals with the Word of God. Worship him as he is with the proper attitude in our spirit and then with the truth of the Word of God. The worship of God as it is revealed in Scripture will be centered on the Word of God. When you worship God and you go to the Word of God and you find out all of his attributes and how worthy he is to be prayed, to be worshiped, and then you get down real personal with it. It's all about you. You worship him with everything that's within you. To really be a true worshiper, you can't hold back. You just got to worship God with all that's in you. What a difference our services would be if every single one of us would begin to worship God with everything that's within us and not hold back anything. Not let anything that went on the past week hinder us. and just begin to worship God because He's God, not because He did some great thing for us this week, not because He healed us, not because He mended a marriage, not because we got a raise on our job, but just worship God because He's God. Not worship Him because we got a new car, not worship Him because we're moving into our new house that we wanted for so long, not worship Him because we got a great girlfriend or a boyfriend or a husband or a wife, but just worship Him because He's God. Don't matter what He did this week or didn't do, no matter what I was blessed with or wasn't blessed with, just get up in the morning and say, I'm going to worship God with everything that's in me, and I'm going to give praise to His name because He deserves the praise, not because I deserve His presence, but because He deserves my praise. So we've got to understand about this. God is pleased when we worship Him, understanding His true character. But it's got to be about us totally abandoning ourselves and worshiping God. Amen? We can do it, can't we? Now that's first point. Second point. Then I got some more points. But second point of these three elements is that worship includes public expression. I said that word correct. Public. How about that? I usually say it differently, Don. You don't hear it because you're as you're like me. It involves public expression. It involves it every time. In the Old Testament, it was particularly true. When a person wanted to thank God, they did it publicly. They didn't go hide in a hole somewhere. They didn't go to their prayer closet and begin to thank God. Nothing wrong with going and getting alone and say, God, I just bless You and I thank You for all that You're doing. And God, You're such a good God. There's nothing wrong with that. But they came publicly and they brought their offerings and they'd walk into the temple and they'd present that offering to the priest and they would sanctify it and then they would begin to offer a praise in public for what God was doing or had done in their lives. They were willing to thank Him openly, not secretly, but openly for what God had done. It's not sufficient to say so privately. We need to understand that it's time for you and I to not be ashamed of what God has done in our lives, but to stand up and boldly proclaim, this is what God has done, and this is why I'm worshiping Him, and if He never does anything else for me, I will still worship Him. Because He's God. And He deserves it. We think so small with our little minds. And we're always looking for blessing. And we're looking for anointing. And we're looking for what God is doing. When really, all God deserves our praise whether He does anything for us or not. He's God. If He never does anything physically for you again, He saved you. He delivered you from Satan's grips. He's delivered you from hell's fire. He has set you free from the bondage of sin. He has given you new life. What else do you need? You have all you need. And when we sing that song, He's All I Need, you should really mean that He's all I need. Because you see, He knows that you have need of shelter. He knows you have need of clothing. He knows you need food. He knows you need transportation. These things He gives to us freely. He blesses you with that. It's what His Word says. If you have that, what else do you need? And you have Him who supplies all your need according to His riches and glory, God, the Bible says. God does. You have what you need. He deserves your glory. He deserves your glory. He deserves your praise. They would bring a thank offering and they'd offer it publicly when God did something for them. We ought to offer it publicly. We ought to be glad to give. Get glad to lift our hands and say, Lord, I thank You. Somebody may be on the back seat not worshiping, Lord, and they may see me raise my hand. Well, raise it up higher. Raise it higher. Turn around, look at him, say, hey, y'all, God's good.
and His mercy endures forever.
You hadn't got the courage to do that, do you? So it includes public expression. Number three, it means service. When you really worship God, you serve God. You want to do something for God. And it means joyful service that we render to Christ our Master. We do it because we do it joyfully. We don't do it begrudgingly. We don't do it, well, the preacher's asked me to do this. I guess I'll do it. I feel in my spirit that God wants me to go witness, so I guess I have to do it. No, it's that God has just dealt with me to go, hey, hallelujah, I get to do something for God. Preacher, pastor needs me to help vacuum the carpet. Oh, man, that's good, because I get to serve God in vacuuming the carpet today. You kidding me, preacher? That ain't serving God. It's serving your church, which is serving God. Witnessing is serving God. Giving to the poor is serving God. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's not necessarily, you know, something to go brag about, but it's something that you do to serve God, and you do it joyfully. Joyfully you do it. And so it means joyful service. This concept of service, however, cannot be restricted just to church attendance, but should embrace an entire life of obedience. Some of us say, well, I went to church Sunday, so I served the Lord this week. No, you come to church service to worship the Lord. And in that process, hopefully you get fed. Sometimes you get a little bit dug out. Every now and then your feet get stepped on. But you come to worship the Lord and just be recharged, refueled with the Spirit of the Lord so you can go another week living for God faithfully. So, well, that's a crutch. No, it's not. It's what we do. We come together for fellowship and to worship God and to be refueled, to be encouraged in Him, to learn what we might need to do differently or what we might need to do better or how we can serve God more efficiently or how we could even begin to serve God. We just come to church to learn. It's a gathering place for fellowship and for learning and teaching. That's what it's all about. It's not just so you can get some Holy Ghost goosebumps. It don't come just so we can shout a little while and go home and say, oh, didn't we have a good service? It's about worshiping God. And so church service is not what it's all about. It's not just restricted to that. And by the way, in case somebody say, well, pastor, don't think church attendance is important. Yes, I do. It's very important. Very, very important. We need to go to church. We need this. We really do. Look at Deuteronomy 8:18. If you'd have your Bibles turned there, if you don't, just wait a minute. It'll be on the wall. Deuteronomy 8:18 says this, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God." So what's He saying? You worship Me. You serve Me. I have established you. I have a covenant with you. And you are to worship Me and establish that covenant with Me as I have established it with you, and be faithful to Me. After all, I'm the one that gives you the power to go to your job. I'm the one that gives you the power to have what you've got. You don't have it on your own. You have it because I have breathed life into you, because I have established you as a church. That's why you have what you've got. I swore to your fathers that I would do it. I have kept My end of the bargain. Now don't forget Me, and don't go follow after the gods of this world, but serve Me and worship Me. That's exactly what that's saying. We forget too quick, and we go do our own thing, and we go build up and accumulate all these things, and then if we're not careful, we say, look what I've got, and look what I've done. There was a rich man, I understand, in the Bible that built a barn, and he filled his barn, and he got it really full of all this stuff, and he had surplus, and he said, well, I've got to build some new barns. So he built some new barns, and he filled them up, and he went back and said, oh, man, look what I've got, and look what I've done, and look how I've accumulated, and look how I'm set up for retirement. And he sat back and said, soul, take your ease. What did the Bible say? This day, your soul will be required. Because he forgot to honor God. And he forgot that it was God that gave him the power to get that wealth and the power to build bigger and the power to accumulate more. And he failed to distribute it and failed to give and failed to honor God and worship God for what God had done for him and allowed him to do. There's nothing wrong with having much. Don't take me wrong. There's nothing wrong, but you need to use it properly. It's not to just heap up riches to yourself and build bigger and better. It's to serve the Lord with. We practice around here, you give to get to give. And the more you give, the more you get, and the more you can give, and then the more you get, and the more you give, and the more you give. It's kind of a snowball effect, and God just continues to bless. And you continue, your needs are continually met, and you get some things that you'd really like to have. God says he knows the desires of your heart. God wants to bless you. He wants you to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. He wants to bless your basket in your storehouse. We must worship God. Put him first. Honor him. Honor him. So, it's another reason to worship God. I got those 3 points out of the way. Now we got a couple more. God commands it. God, simply put, God says, worship me. The first 4 of the 10 commandments are clearly charged men to worship God. Worship God. It's all there. Jesus said the commandments were this: love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might, or everything within you. And the second is really similar to it: love your neighbor as yourself. Love God first, and then love others. 2 commandments. If you can do them, Jesus said all the other commandments hinge on those 2. Loving God and loving others. We need to learn to love God. Give God his place, his first place in our lives. So God commands that we worship him, and to allow any person or anything to usurp this position of his lordship over us constitutes gross disobedience and can cause us to incur God's wrath. When we let anything become more important to us than God and worship it, worship the creation rather than the creator, we're setting ourselves up for some things to happen that we really don't want to happen in our lives. Here I wrote, when I first wrote this sermon several years back, that we could incur God's wrath. And it's probably true. All people are destined to pay homage to him. That's our destiny. That's why we were created, to give honor to God, to worship him, to worship Jesus. Not his creation, not stuff, not people, but God. We love people. We have relationship with people, but we honor God. We worship God, and we also have relationship with God. But he's to be worshipped. He's God. There's no God like him. Philippians 2:10, fact is, says this. You may say, well, I don't really want to worship God, and I haven't really been worshiping him like I should. Well, the Bible says this in Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Well, I don't know about this worship, Pastor. Well, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. One of these days, you will bow, and you will worship. You may not be headed to the direction you think you are, you should be, but you'll understand when you get to that point that you should have been worshiping God all along. But you will. Every tongue is going to confess. Every knee is going to bow one day. I'd rather do it willingly now. Do it because I love God. Do it because I want the favor of God. And just worship him now. just submit myself, my total spirit, my soul, everything within me to God now, rather than be forced to later. I don't serve God today because I have to. I serve Him because I want to. And thirdly, or fourthly, wherever I'm at on this thing, I do it because God not only commands it, but that God deserves it. I serve Him because He deserves it. I worship Him because He deserves it. He alone possesses the attributes that merit my worship and my service. He alone. He deserves it. Some of us are better to our bosses and give more to our jobs than we do to God. We care more about that job than we do God. And you need jobs. I'm not telling you, well, pastor said I just got to have to quit this job and just worship God. I didn't say that. But you need to understand that job is a result of God's hand in your life, like I said earlier. But you're to worship God and thank God for the job. Keep working. Don't quit. Don't be like some group. Well, Jesus is coming, so I'll just quit my job and we'll just live till He comes. Oh, don't do that. You might starve to death. He possesses it. The attributes that merit my worship. He is good. Look at Psalms 100, verses 4 and 5. He is good. Psalms 100. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. He deserves it because He is good. I'm to enter His courts with thanksgiving, His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise, because He is good. And His mercy endures, is everlasting, and His truth endures for all generations, it says. Look at Exodus 4:31. And let's just skip that one. He shows mercy. He does show mercy. His mercy endures forever. Let's skip that one, Robbie. Let's go to Psalms 99 for just a moment. Psalms chapter of 99 and verses 5 and verse 9 says this. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. Why? He's holy. He is holy. Verse 9 says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill. Why is that? For the Lord our God is holy. So He is holy. So He is holy in His holiness. He deserves our praise. How many of you are holy today? Oh, you really think you're that holy? You don't deserve no praise. You don't deserve no honor. You haven't created anything. You're basking in the glory of God. You are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ today. And in Jesus, He sees you as righteous. And in Jesus, He sees you as holy. But in and of yourself, you are not holy. You are not righteous. You still have flesh you're dealing with. You still have situational ethics that you have to deal with. There's things in your life, but God is pure and God is holy and He deserves our worship. Amen. When men in biblical times saw the unveiled glory of God, they could not help but fall on their face. They just couldn't help it. They would fall on their face and they would begin to worship. They were so overcome by His glory that they had to react. And you probably say, well, preacher, if I ever saw something like that in our church, I would react. Well, we've had opportunity a lot of times because the glory of the Lord would come down and His presence would be here and we didn't do nothing. As few did and few tried, but there's so many that didn't try and didn't want to do anything more than just sit and be a spectator, that the glory of the Lord couldn't move and He couldn't speak like He really wanted to speak. It wasn't flowing like He really wanted. It flowed a little bit. We got a little touch of it, but we didn't get the touch that we really needed that would really transform and change lives if we would just enter in. In spirit and truth. But when these guys, when God, the Lord got in their presence, they had to do something. When Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, he saw so much of the glory of God that they had to veil his face. It was so rich. And when he came down, they couldn't even look on Moses because he had been in the presence of the Lord. And when he was there out in the wilderness attending the sheep, even before he went to the mountain, and God spoke to him out of a burning bush, the Lord spoke to him, take off your feet. feet, take off your feet. Take off your shoes from off your feet, for the ground you're standing on is holy ground. He had to react to what God was telling him. When Paul was on the road to Damascus, how many know that story? He was on his way to destroy Christians, to take them captive, to arrest them, to take them to jail, to persecute them. On the road to Damascus, a great light shone and blinded Paul, knocked him off his horse, and the Lord spoke to him. But Paul, during that, he just had to begin to, he understood, all of a sudden he recognized that there is a God in heaven, that the one he was fighting against was Jesus Christ, the one had been crucified and for his sins, and he began to worship God. When he got in the presence of the Lord, he couldn't stand up. They had to lead him to Damascus. Got filled with the Holy Ghost. Was transformed and changed. When John was on the Isle of Patmos receiving the revelation, the book of Revelations as we know it, he had to just fall on his face, for the glory of the Lord shone around him, and God began to speak to him, and God took him up and just began to fill his mind and his heart with things to write. And he couldn't stand for the glory of God there. He was so overcome and overwhelmed by it. And so if I tell you folks, if you really get into the presence of the Lord and you really begin to worship him like you should, you're not going to just stand up and do it nonchalantly. You're not just going to do it just to do it. You're going to, all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord's going to touch you, and he's going to begin to move into your spirit, and your spirit's going to connect with him, and you're going to just begin. You might not fall on your face, but something's going to well up within you, and there's probably going to be an emotional response from you, because all of a sudden you realize you're in the presence of the Lord. I can sit in my office and I can begin. I don't have to come into this sanctuary to feel the presence of the Lord. I don't have to be in any specific, particular spot and go back there time and time again to get into the presence of the Lord like they used to. I can get into the presence of the Lord anywhere I'm at. I've gotten to the presence of the Lord driving down the road in my automobile. I just begin to worship God, and the Spirit of the Lord would come into my car, and I begin to weep and talk in tongues and just worship God. I've been sitting at my desk and just listening to music, brother Don, and all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord just enter into that room and enter his presence, and I just have to sit there with my hands up and looking up and just weep and cry, because the presence of the Lord is there. Why is that? Because I become a worshiper, and I laid aside all the weight and all the sin and all the things that would weight me down and hold me down, and I begin just to say, God, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. You have been good to me. You have blessed me. You have honored me. And God, I honor you today. You are worthy to be praised. Folks, it's worth, God needs to, we need to worship God. We need to give glad submission to the Lord. We need to understand he is our creator, and we are the created. We cannot be afford to build our lives on anything less or adapt anything less than God as master of our lives, or we'll be building our lives on quicksand, and we'll never survive it, ladies and gentlemen. We'll never be stronger than the object that we worship, and we are to worship God. I can't emphasize that enough this morning. God is the object of our worship. Things he's blessed you with are just that. They are things. They are not objects of worship. God is the object of our worship today. When we begin to worship God, we are participating in the occupation of heaven. If you'll read Isaiah, I think it's the first chapter. I didn't write it down, so my memory's not like it ought to be when it comes to things. But they're in heaven constantly. You get in the book of Revelations, you'll also read that in heaven, they are worshiping God constantly. There's cherubims and seraphims. They're flying around the throne. And the angels in heaven are constantly just praising the Lord. Great is the Lord, and he is holy. And they're just saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Do you understand when you begin to really praise God and you submit to the Lord that you are participating with heaven in worshiping the only living God? He's God, and he deserves it. And we need to worship him. You'll never find satisfaction, real satisfaction, especially when you call yourself a Christian. You'll never find real satisfaction in this world unless you become a worshiper. You'll always be lacking. Your joy will never be full. It'll never be like it's supposed to be until you learn to worship God. And learn to worship Him no matter the circumstance. Worship Him in spite of what you're going through today. In spite of the problems that you're facing tomorrow, worship God. He'll see you through it. He'll bring you out on the other side. He's faithful. He's faithful. Let's worship Him. In conclusion, God, worship is important. God commands our worship. God deserves our worship. And we need to worship God. Amen? We need to worship God. Amen. Stand with me. I want to do this. Right or wrong, that's what we want to do. Sometimes you don't know how it's going to work out. I just want them to play music. They can sing if they want to. And I want you, with all abandonment, just to worship God. This place is a place where you shouldn't feel any condemnation, any fear, like anybody's drawing an opinion of you. Just worship God. Just worship Him before you because of who He is. Because of who you are and whose you are today. Would you do that? Say, begin to play. Just throw your hands up. Lift your hearts and your mouth. Your voices. And begin to worship Him. If you need a specific prayer, if you'll come, we'll pray with you. But come on, worship Him, church. With all abandonment. All that's in you. There's none like Him. He deserves it.